Now, for more insight and analysis of the non-aligned movement that's taking place in Tehran, we're now joined by Jamal Wakim. He is a professor of Lebanese International University, joining us by satellite from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Mr. Wakim, welcome to the program. First of all, how do you perceive the importance of the 16th NAM summit that has kick-started in Iran's capital, Tehran?
There are a lot of points that should be tackled. The first is that this conference is held in Tehran at a time when Iran is being submitted to more Western pressures regarding its nuclear program. So Iran will become the president of the non-aligned movement for the upcoming mandate. And any aggression by Israel or the United States against it will be symbolically an aggression against the non-aligned movement. So I believe that by becoming the president of the non-aligned movement for the next mandate, Tehran will be buying time against any aggression directed by Israel and by the United States. On the other hand, it's also important at a time when the West is trying to blockade Iran, this conference held in Tehran is giving Iran international recognition and legitimacy and immunity against Western pressures. And the third point that should be mentioned here is the Syrian crisis. At a time where the West is trying to isolate the Syrian regime, This summit is giving more balanced solution to the Syrian crisis, and hence, it was praised by the Syrian delegates participating in the conference. So it counterbalances the Western pressures against the Syrian regime at a time when the Syrian regime is acquiring the upper hand against the insurgency in Syria.
Mr. Wakim, we're going to go over all those points separately, but I'd like to bring this issue to the forefront. First of all, Foreign Minister Ali Akbar Salehi had stated that he wishes to strengthen the status of the non-aligned movement in the political spectrum worldwide. What can Iran do, and what should Iran do during its tenure as president of the non-aligned movement?
The most important thing that Iran could do is to give more coherence to this movement, which is more of a club of states rather than having actual political power, because many of its members are aligned to one or another superpower, mainly Western powers. We could mention Saudi Arabia, for example, which is a satellite that runs in the orbit of the United States. So this undermines the ability of this non-aligned movement to have autonomous political decisions. But for Iran in the upcoming decade, we will see a new alignment in the world where the United States is trying to extend and expand the coalition of Western countries and trying to include Turkey, and to an extent it's trying to mend fences with Russia. The role that Iran could play is to give more activism to this non-aligned movement in order to give poorer countries and developing countries a say in global issues and in world affairs, and not have it all depending on the West and on the United States.
Mr. Wakim, over the years, NAM has always emphasized the need to bring about drastic changes in the structure of the United Nations and the Security Council of the UN, and has urged the body to reform its one-sided policies, so-called one-sided policies, which mostly favor the powerful countries. How much of an impact can the non-aligned movement make in that regard?
The prospects are weak in the near future, but I believe in the long run, with states like Venezuela, like Iran, like Cuba, they could, if they complement their economies and their policies and coordinate them, I believe that they could encourage other countries like Brazil, like India, to follow suit and to join them in elaborating on a unified policy, broader policies that could give more balance to the one-sided United Nations policies, which are complementary, which has been complementary in the past two decades to the American policies.
Mr. Joachim, what about the stance and position that Iran has in global politics? Now, the gathering in Tehran is seen by many as disappointing for those who want to find Iran isolated and packed down, whether it's the United States, whether it's Israel, or the European powers.
Well, the most important thing is the geopolitical dimensions or the geopolitical position of Iran, which has always played a role of linking the Far East with the Mediterranean. At a time when the United States is trying to encircle China, the exit of China to the world will pass through Tehran. And with this international role that Tehran could play, it will be the gateway of China into the world at a time when the United States is trying to blockade China with a set of crises and try to suffocate the growing Chinese economy.
Mr. Joachim, another key issue on the agenda of the NAM summit is, of course, the issue of Palestine, the Palestinian cause, and the Israeli occupation. What can NAM do to bring more focus on the issue of the Palestinian occupation?
Well, if Iran succeeds to give relative power during its mandate to the non-aligned movement, I believe that it could, to a certain extent, tilt the balance to the favor of third world countries and hence be more capable of supporting the Palestinians in their quest for independence and for freedom. But for the time being, Israel, supported by the United States and the West, is unwilling to give any concessions. It's still expanding its colonization of occupied territories. It's still trying to infringe on Muslim and Christian presence in the old city of Jerusalem. So I believe that this is the main task that should be followed and pursued by Iran in the next few years as head of the non-aligned movement.
And also, let's not forget the issue of ending the unrest in Syria. I believe the Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi, who was also scheduled to attend the summit, is going to take another stab at finding a political solution to the unrest by creating a contact group. What do you see as the level of success for such efforts, and what are the repercussions of such efforts on a broader global perspective?
Well, regarding Egypt, which is passing through a crisis and which is trying to re-elaborate its vision for its role in the Middle East, I believe that we need to wait a little bit. But the Americans had tried to establish a triangle of Sunni Muslim states, quote-unquote, Ankara, Riyadh, and Cairo to blockade the what they call as Iranian expansionism. However, with the presence of Mohamed Morsi in the conference, it might lead into directing Egyptian policies into another direction and into another end. We need not to forget the hostility and the competition over the leadership of the region between Egypt and Turkey in the past four centuries. And I believe that Iran can benefit from this to mend fences with Egypt and get into a better understanding in spite of differences.
And also, a lot of major foreign players are participating in this summit. But one of the highlights is definitely UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, who is scheduled to land in Tehran in a matter of minutes. Tell us about the significance of Ban's participation in the summit and visiting Tehran. The Israelis didn't want it. The Americans didn't want it. The New York Times even went as far as describing Ban's decision as a blow to the U.S. and Israel.
Definitely it is, because the presence of the UN secretary in the conference gives legitimacy and acknowledged the international legitimacy of Iran's presidency of the Non-Aligned Movement for the upcoming mandate. So this is a severe blow to the American, Israeli, and Western pressures in general to blockade Iran and strip it of international recognition.
Mr. Joachim, Iran has been facing illegal unilateral sanctions as of recent by the United States and its Western allies. Iran is a member and signatory of the NPT, and it is Iran's inalienable right to peaceful nuclear energy. How can Iran bring the issue of these illegal sanctions to the fore at this summit?
Well, being the head of the Non-Aligned Movement, it can benefit from this position and address its, demands backed by over 120 states. This might not have a political power, but it still has a moral power to support Iran against the West and against the United States.
And also, let's not forget the issue of Egypt. You also mentioned this is the first visiting Egyptian president since Iran and Egypt broke ties when the Egyptian nation back then in 1979, if I'm correct, signed a peace agreement with Israel. Tell us about the repercussions and ramifications globally and specifically in the region that the issue of increasing ties between Iran and Egypt could have.
As I said before, we need to wait for Egypt to elaborate its new direction in the region. We should not forget that the ruling elite now in Egypt has been allied to the United States for the past five decades as a political party, and it acquired power in Egypt with the support of the United States and in an attempt by the United States, at least by the neoconservatives in the United States, to work on a schism between Shia and Sunnis. So we need to wait for Egypt to elaborate its political direction, especially that the American plans might not work if we are well aware of the fact that the geopolitical role of Egypt has collided at several instances with Iran and has confronted or been at odds with Turkey. And the rise of Turkey as a superpower in the past four centuries was at the expense of Egypt's supremacy in the Middle East. So we need not forget about these geopolitical dimensions, and we cannot see things from a one-sided dimension.
All right, many thanks. Professor of Lebanese International University, Mr. Jamal Joachim from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Sir, thank you for sharing your thoughts with us here on Press TV.